think this whole meta nonsense, this whole concept of a meta group, might be a little bit clearer if I give another example or another picture for the definition and then another example. So first of all, what's a meta group? It's a huge algebraic structure. Okay, so what's an algebraic structure in general? I think I mentioned it before. It's a collection of spaces with a collection of maps between them which satisfy some axioms. And the maps might be, some are unary, but some might be binary. Okay? So a metagroup is a collection, a huge collection of sets, one set for each set of labels. So in principle, it's actually not a set theoretic object because, if set theory bothers you, restrict the set of labels to be integers or, you know, letters in the English alphabet, including subscripts. Okay, some make it some set. But then, and then you have this huge collection of sets. This set indicates the set of all data sets with registers u, x, and y. And then between these sets there are operations. So from g, u, x, y into g, u, z, there is an operation, multiply x by y, storing the result in z. It will delete x and y, but store the result in z. Then there is an s sub z operation, invert z operation, which is an automorphism of this set. Likewise, there is an s sub x operation here, and also an s sub y operation here. And there are all sorts of axioms. So the non-interesting ones, I will not even say the non-interesting ones, but the most interesting one is associativity, and it's written here. Okay? But then there are also binary operations, so you can take two data sets that have disjoint sets of labels and merge them. Okay? Except this is not genuinely union. I don't know what it is, a priori, in an abstract metagroup. Okay? So this is the general picture for what a metagroup is. And then let me give you the examples that sort of inspires everything, even though it's actually not an example. It fails. Okay? So let G sub gamma be the collection of all U tangles whose components are labeled gamma. So for example, G sub 1, 2 will contain the tangle drawn here with two components labeled 1 and 2. But also, of course, it will have many, many, many examples, further examples. Now, what are the operations? So the most fun operation is always the multiplication operation. It should be a unary operation. Don't look for a binary operation. So if I have a tangle with component X and component Y, and I don't care, but maybe more components, the operation of multiplying X and Y will be the concatenation operation. Sorry, all components should be oriented. And the operation of multiplying X and Y will be to concatenate them. So you'll add a little hoop like this, not a little loop back thing like here, put the boundary around it, and now you have a single component Z, and you keep all the other components untouched. Okay? And what are the other operations? So this will be M, X, Y, Z. What are the other operations? Inverting a component, reversing the direction of the arrow, is the inverse, is S sub Z. Taking the union, the binary operation, so if you have two tangles, you know, one with labels 1 and 2, and another with labels 3 and 1 and 2, 3 and 4, then the union will be the tangle that has, basically, the disjoint union. Okay? One, two, three, four. I may have messed up the order of components, okay? What is the co-product, so the cloning of an element? So the cloning of an element will be, so what is the cloning of an element? It will be strand doubling. So delta X into Y and Z, you take the component X and you double it. Okay? And you're welcome to verify, well, this is co-associative, this is associative. You're welcome to verify, this has the right behavior with respect to inverses. So if you clone, invert one of the, so if you clone and then invert one of the sides and multiply the thing with inverse, with its inverse, you can contract the whole thing to the empty thing, to the little hook here, which will to a little thing down here, which I didn't tell you what the identity is, but that's the identity, okay? And a non-interacting strand. So the best example is tangles, except it's only an almost example. It actually doesn't work. Why does it fail to work? Why does it fail to work? Why is it not an example? Everybody except Sam. It fails in, why does it fail to work? The connected sums is slightly not well defined. It's not clear how to place the two tangles together, correct? Even worse, the concatenation of two components makes sense only if they are adjacent. Okay, and the word adjacent was not in the definition of a metagroup. So in the definition of a metagroup, I should be able to concatenate two things no matter where they are. Okay? So that's the main failure. Okay? However, if you change to virtual tangles, then you also drop the almost and you capitalize the E. Because for virtual tangles, all ordering issues don't matter, because you can always just, if you want to concatenate, if you want to link the end of this with the beginning of that, you just go from here to here virtually, with only virtual crossings along the way. Okay? So you see, here you go, I earned a new picture for free. Okay? So in some sense, constructing an this example has an obvious Young-Baxter pair, meaning you will take R plus to be, so R plus on labels 1 and 2 to be the crossing in which 1 crosses over 2 in a positive sense. Okay? And in fact, virtual tangles is in some sense, it's precisely the free metagroup generated by R plus minus modded out by modulo the relation that R plus minus should satisfy, meaning the Rademeister relations, which can be written in this language. Okay? So in some sense, the type of invariants that I'm looking for are, quotients of this example. Okay? So, except, of course, you know, this is a lovely example, but it's, you know, the problem is that it's very hard to decide if two things are equal in this example or not. So the point is to find examples in which the decision whether two things are equal or not is easy. Okay? Is it clear now?
So an S is reversing orientation?
S reverses the orientation of a strand, yes. Inserting the identity will mean insert a non-interacting strand, tiny. Okay, just no crossings on it. What else is there? I don't know. Okay. Anyway, sorry. So, okay. So as I mentioned, well, I have this definition of a metagroup, and now I have a few more examples. But now, if I want to construct metagroups, I need tools. And one tool is meta bicross products. Okay? So first of all, I remind you what a bicross product is. It's just the rule of how to get a group from two disjoint subgroups thereof. The only extra information you need is a swap map, which needs to satisfy two axioms. Okay? So now, what would be a meta bicross product? So in fact, this is a bit loose. So what I'm defining now is the information necessary in order to construct a meta bicross product. So the information should be two meta group, or more precisely, a meta pair of groups, where the two pairs have a swap operation. Where the two groups have a swap operation between them. Okay? So now let me say it precisely. So a meta-bicross product, a meta-bicross product is a collection, is a collection of sets, beta, eta, tau. So for each set of head labels, eta is H in Greek, right? So heads. And tau, I have computers that can store two types of information, sort of head information and tail information. So elements in the group H and elements in the group T. So a meta bicross product is a collection of set beta H tau for every finite H and every finite tau. And then operations, tail multiply UVW. So for every tail, so for every label U and label V inside tau and label W not inside tau, there is an operation tail multiply of U and V into W, storing the result into W. Likewise, head multiply. And finally, a new operation, which takes a tail label and a head label, and produces the same, and in fact stores the result in the same registers, so I don't need new names for the outputs, called swap. And then all the lesser operations as well. These are the interesting operations. Such that tail multiply and H multiply are associative in the meta sense. And equations 1 and 2 hold. And if you remember, equation 1 and 2 were written in a way that makes sense in the meta universe. Okay? So that's a meta group. Okay? Sorry, that's the information that goes into the construction of a meta-bicross product. Now, if you want to define a meta-bicross product, the actual meta-bicross product, then that's the meta group whose G sub gammas are the beta gamma gamma. So in order to describe gamma elements in the group G, you need gamma heads and gamma tails, right? Because each element in the product is a pair of a head and a tail. So therefore, you set G sub gamma to be beta gamma gamma, and then you define the group multiply operation to be given by the formula given here. So the group multiply of 1 and 2 into 3. Now, in G, One is a pair, one head and one tail. And two is a pair, one head and one tail, and so on. So you swap the tail of one with the, basically this. Okay? Examples. Sorry. So the simplest example is you take beta eta tau to be tau by eta matrices over Z, and now you sort of split. Before I had joint operations, you do row and column operations at the same time, now you split. So you do row operations for the tails and column operations for the head, and the swap is trivial, the swap is the identity. That's sort of a bi-cross product in which the swap does nothing, so it's the analog of just a cross product. Anyway, the meta group defined from this information is the same one that I defined before with matrices. Okay? Well, so you know, it's mildly interesting, but here is the true interesting example. So, sorry, here is the example that does the Alexander polynomial. Okay? So, and the way I'm defining it is, at the moment, I'm just declaring it. You cannot argue. Okay? You can only check if it works. Okay? But later I will have to justify it. Or not justify it, explain where it came from. Okay? So let beta and of eta and tau be, like before, the set of tau by eta matrices, with two exceptions. First of all, rather than just a matrix, it's a matrix plus a single special additional element written in the upper left corner called omega. Okay? And where the well, the heads belong to the set of heads, the tails belong to the set of tails, and omega and the entries of the matrix are all rational functions in a single variable capital X. There is also a multivariable variant for the multivariable Alexander polynomial. I'll do it later. I will not do it, but it's the same. Okay? So this is the set of data sets. Okay? Now I need to tell you what the operations are. So I guess the first operation is the disjoint operation, sorry, is the union operation. The union operation is much like the block diagonal product. So if you have a matrix alpha 1 and a matrix alpha 2, you get a bigger matrix by looking at the block diagonal product, and the labels are just the union of the sets of labels. But the special element, the omegas, get multiplied. The omegas get multiplied. Okay? Then I need to tell you what tail multiply. Tail multiply is like in the stupid example. Not the stupid example, the first example. So if you have the tail corresponding to U, the tail corresponding to V, and I want to multiply I want to apply tail multiply to a matrix that has a row corresponding to U and a row corresponding to V, I'll just get a new row, label it W, and it will be the sum of the previous two rows. So this is a basic row operation. Head multiply is already a little bit more interesting. So for head multiply, I need to tell you what is the norm of a column. It's sort of norm. For lack of a better name, I call it norm. It's not a norm. Okay? But the norm of a column is defined to be the sum of the entries in it. Okay? So then, the head multiply operation of head alpha and head beta will be, you add alpha and beta, and also the norm of alpha times beta, and you leave the rest of the matrix untouched. Okay? And then the swap operation, so the swap is where the mess comes in. So if I want to swap tail U with head X, the result is a messy mess. But let me tell you what it is. So first of all, I write the input as alpha, beta, gamma, delta. Alpha is a single entry, beta is a row, gamma is a column, delta is a n minus 1 by n minus 1 matrix. Okay? I let epsilon be 1 plus alpha, and then the result is just written here. You cannot argue. I declare it to be this. Okay? So the result is just this. So instead of alpha, you will have alpha plus the norm of gamma, alpha multiplied by 1 plus the norm of gamma divided by epsilon. I'll skip straight to here. Instead of delta, you will have delta minus gamma times beta. So gamma is a column, beta is a row, so the product is a matrix, and divided by a scalar. Okay? Again, you cannot argue. And finally, I have a Young-Baxter pair, I claim. So the Young-Baxter pair in the product, the positive one, sorry, it should have been plus, but I wrote P. And this should have been minus, but I wrote M. Okay? So the positive Young-Baxter one should be in the metaspace, metagroup, that has a register A and a register B. But it means that it must have a tail A and a tail B and a head A and a head B. So it will be a 2x2 matrix. It's written here. Likewise for the inverse. And then...
alpha is what here? What can alpha be?
A scalar. L alpha and a rational function in the variable X. Oh, are you... why are you asking?
Because of epsilon and invertibility of epsilon.
Okay, so... yeah, you're right. I should have put conditions. I should have put conditions. What is the condition? I think the condition is... Yeah, so when you set X to 1, yeah, so the condition is that when you set capital X to 1, all entries, so all of these alpha ij's are... zero. So all of these alpha ij alpha ij of 1 is 0. Okay? And then epsilon at x equals 1 is 1. So in particular, it's not zero, so you can divide by it in the space of rational functions. And then you can check that the condition is preserved. So, I don't want to check it, but the condition is preserved. So yes, you're right. This is... Sorry. Okay? Anyway, theorem... So now that I have, okay, the first statement of the theorem is not even written. First of all, this really does define a metabi cross product. So all identities are satisfied, and the Young-Baxter element is indeed, the Young-Baxter pairs are indeed young Baxters, so they satisfy Rademeister 2 and Rademeister 3. Therefore, the corresponding invariant is an invariant of tangles, and in fact more than just tangles, because virtual tangles, W tangles, I don't know, and also has good behavior with respect to various further operations. Restricted to knots, if you look at just the W part, the omega part, so the sort of upper left corner, you get the Alexander polynomials, and in it, it's also, you can also find the Borel representation, if you know what it is, and there is a variant for links where you, which contains the multivariable Alexander polynomial. Okay? So why am I happy? Maybe I'll just say that, well, I think I said most of the things, but let me say, maybe stress this one once again, and then do the last one. So you see the usual definition of the Alexander polynomial, you know, you start from a complicated knot, you construct a big matrix, and then bang, meaning that, and you get an answer. Okay? And and here if you want to compute the invariant of a big knot, you first of all present it, you first of all start with a bunch of disjoint crossings, and then you start connecting them. Each connection is a messy operation. Each time you connect two strands, it's a composition of three of those, it's a composition of one swap, one head multiply, one tail multiply. So it's a messy operation, but completely formula, okay? But yet, after each, sorry, it's a messy operation, but if you actually look at the computational complexity, it's a very simple operation. Okay, so you do a bunch of simple operations, and after each step, each time you concatenate two strands, after each step you get a tangle, and the output you get for that tangle is an invariant of that tangle. So sort of instead of crossing the river by one great leap, you, I've provided you with sort of n stepping stones along the way. At the end of each one, you actually get an invariant of the thing you've been looking at, the thing you're looking at. This is Misha Polyak, and this is Tomotada Ohtsuki, and the picture was taken in 2001 in Kyoto somewhere. Do you recognize these people?
Yes, but it took a while to recognize Tomotada.
Well, it's a very shrunk picture of him, you know. Is it better?
Yeah.
Well, not much better, because it's still a low-resolution picture. Okay, and the final point is that it all fits on one piece of paper, including the implementation and some propaganda. So, I don't think I want to go through the details of the implementation, but I want to emphasize that it's implementable, and this is the entire implementation. In fact, this is just the formatting bit of the implementation. This is how to output matrices so that they look like matrices. Okay? That's nothing. The actual implementation is here. I hit enter, it's into the computer now. But you see, if you look carefully, you will see exactly the formulas that I wrote before. So inside the definition of swap, there is this the exact same formulas that are on your handout. And everything else is just syntax. And here is the positive R and the negative R, and again, everything else is just syntax. Okay? So then, the moment you have an implementation, it doesn't only allow you to compute invariants, it also allows you to verify that your theory is correct. Okay? So, You know, I can take a generic matrix, more or less generic, meaning I didn't give actual values to the alphas, apply to it tail multiply and then swap and compare it with applying swap and then tail multiply, and this is a verification of one of the two swap axioms. Again, I hit enter and the computer outputs true. So the two sides really are equal. Okay? Now, of course, I could have faked. I could have checked. So you have to go home and run the program and put a false equation, and you'll find that it outputs false. Okay? So I didn't check. I didn't fake. Okay? Likewise, I could verify the Rademeister 3 moves. So the Rademeister 3 moves involve writing a certain tangle and then writing another tangle and comparing their invariants. So I need to label everything, I guess, you know, here are the labelings. Then I need to multiply, I need to multiply the corresponding crossings, first of all, just using the no multiplication symbol, just means disjoint union. Then I have to apply the group multiply operation, which was defined above to be a combination here, in fact. The group multiply operation was defined to be a swap head multiply followed by tail multiply. So it's the definition that I meant it to be. And anyway, I could apply all of those operations to both of those tangles, and you see that the two outputs are the same. Okay? So I've proven that what I get is a not invariant. Okay? Next, I can compute it. So suppose you give me the 817 tangle. I just enter it as a product of crossings. You count, there are like, not 817 tangle, 817 knot. I get 8 crossings, I hit enter, the computer prints out a certain matrix. This matrix is the block diagonal product of the 8 2x2 matrices that correspond to the individual crossings. So it's a 16x16 matrix, but my computer automatically drops out rows that are completely zero or columns that are completely zero to save space. So it looks like it's an 8x8 matrix. This is an invariant of the tangle, you know, this tangle, eight crossings that are not interacting. Okay? The next thing I do is I tell my computer to take beta was the output from the previous stage, and for k going from 1 to 10, do the operation, apply to beta the group multiply of 1 and k into 1, and then store the result in beta. The meaning of this is, right, remember that these n's are labeled 1, 2, 3, 4, I don't know, so on. Okay? So what I'm telling the computer to do is to connect 1 to 2, storing the result in 1. So now I get a new tangle with this called 1. Then connect, it's 3 should be the other side of 2. Then connect 3 to 4, and so on. So I basically tell the computer to do the first 10 connections in the construction of the 817 knot. So the result is not a knot yet, it's a tangle. Because I didn't complete, I did only the first 10 connections. So the result is a certain tangle, and here is its invariant. It's a matrix with one row and one column for each component, and an additional entry on the upper left. And then I tell the computer, so this is just to show you what a typical intermediate step looks like. And then I tell the computer to do the remaining connections from 11 to 16. I hit enter, and that's the Alexander polynomial. the matrix became a zero matrix, so it's not even printed. Okay? So, Alexander is looking at it happy because it's the same as what he got. I have a list of questions, and I think I talked about it too much. So with your permission, I will not go through the list of questions, but instead start the process of derivation. Okay?
What does derivation mean?
Or where did this come from? I'm asserting that everything that I did now in the last hour and a half is a quotient of what I did yesterday. A very lossy quotient. It's a small part of it. Okay?
Just a question before we do that. Is there any relation to operands in what you do here? So for example, if you have a little disk operand, and then you map it to the endomorphisms of the homology of the disk with the functions, would you get a structure that satisfies your conditions and the metadata?
I'm not sure I understood your specific...
So for any disk with holes in it,
yeah.
First map it to the homology.
Yeah.
Then I take endomorphisms of that. So I get your matrices. And might that somehow realize your story?
I have nothing intelligent to say. Okay? I gave the same talk, by the way, in a conference on operads once. Not quite the same, but, you know, a variant of the same talk. And really my question was, what to name this structure, metagroup? Okay, so there clearly should be some... I thought there has to be a name for it in advance. And asking this question in a conference on operads seemed the right place. And I didn't get a convincing answer. Okay? So I'm not sure what the answer is. What I can tell you is, just like there is a meta group, there is a meta anything for any operad. Okay, so I didn't formalize it as a operation on algebraic structures, okay, that takes an algebraic structure to a new algebraic structure called, you know, that takes alpha to meta alpha. But I could formalize it for an arbitrary operand. But that's not answering your question. That answers that. That's just using your words in a different permutation. You know. Okay. So. Yeah. I have lots of questions, but maybe that's not the time to do them. Okay. So, I think I'm, well, how am I doing? Well, I do have a few more minutes, but I'm really starting a new chapter now. So, maybe we'll quit, but maybe I'll just tell you very, very briefly what will happen schematically later. Okay? So schematically, first of all, I will go back to studying AW, so the target space of the invariant Z, and I will find that it has the exact same operations, tail multiply, swap, and head multiply. And also, I will look back at the topology, and I will find that, whereas in three-dimensional topology, these operations, sort of, the only thing that made sense was the tangle concatenation, so the composition of swap, head multiply, and tail multiply. In four-dimensional topology, the individual operations make sense. And I guess that will happen next. Okay. Well, see you after lunch.